Would please to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Acts is the story, if you will. It's not a story. It's documented under the unction of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And in Acts, I want for us to look at the power of the name of Jesus. I don't want you to just hear a sermon this morning. Man, you can sit at the house, have a hot cup of coffee and a donut, put your feet up in your recliner, watch anybody you want to watch on TV talk about the things of the Lord. But this morning I want to challenge you where you live, in your heart, that church, as we see the day approaching, as we see time as we know it, running out, winding down, we have to be ready. He's not going to come to any one of you and say, oh, by the way, tomorrow I'm going to come and redeem my church. The Scripture makes it clear that He will come like a thief in the night. The eastern sky is going to split. Jesus is going to step through. The trumpet of the Lord is going to sound. And the dead in Christ will rise up and meet Him in the air. And those of us that remain will be caught up with them in the clouds. Come on now. I don't want to just talk about the power in His name. I want for you to read it with me. I want for you to see it. It'll be on the screens this morning as it always is. I want to ask you to stand with me this morning just out of respect for God's Word as I read God's Word. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This isn't my story. This is His story. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the ninth hour, or rather at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Lord, I pray over this message this morning again, God. Without your anointing, I'm nothing but a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. But Father, this morning I pray for the unction of your Holy Spirit to just envelop me, Lord, and give me words to say today. God, words that aren't on paper, words that come right from your throne room today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. How many of you would like to have that kind of power? Listen, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, give I unto you. Rise up and walk. Woo! You notice in that passage of Scripture, they didn't say in the name of John. Peter didn't say in the name of John, rise up and walk. He didn't say, in my name, rise up and walk. He said, in the name of Jesus. Why? Because there's power in His name. And if we were to take the time this morning to read both the third and the fourth chapters of Acts, we would see that in those chapters that there is an emphasis on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is used over and over and over. A name, of course, implies much more than identification. It carries with it a level of authority. It carries with it the authority and reputation and power. When somebody says, "You can use my name." You ever had anybody say that to you? "Well, you can just use my name." Drop. Police officer pulls you over. Well, that never worked for me. Yeah, I know him too, by the way. Ruh-roh. When somebody says, "You can use my name," you better hope that that name is worth using. Amen? I mean, Tom Baudet. How many of you know who Tom Baudet is? Tell him I sent you. Tell him Tom sent you to Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you. You know how many people went to Motel 6 because of Tom Baudet? Think about it. It was because of his name. Mark, you ever stayed at a Motel 6? Did you ever tell him Tom sent you? Could happen. See, if an order is given in the name of the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Great Britain, whoever receives those orders are obligated to obey. Why? Because behind their name, whether you and I agree with them this morning or not, is irrelevant. With their title comes a level of authority and a level of power. If I were to issue orders on the front steps of the White House or at number 10 Downing Street in Britain, nobody's going to pay any attention to me. I'm just Pastor Shane from Myrtle Creek, Oregon. But the name of the Lord has all authority behind it. Way more authority than Joe Biden. Way more authority than any of the representatives. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ has all authority behind it. Because why? Because He is the Son of God Almighty. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority." How much is all authority? It's all authority. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Listen, God gave Jesus complete authority over heaven and earth. Complete authority. Nothing's lacking. Did you hear me? Is this thing even working? It's been bent so many times, I don't know if it even works half the time. On the basis of His authority, Jesus told the disciples. Who are the disciples? That was a trick question, but you got it. On the basis of His authority, where did His authority come from? Come from the Father. Jesus told His disciples. He's transferring authority and He says, "Go and make disciples as you preach and as you baptize and as you teach." If I send somebody out of this church with a mandate from me, go and do this or go and do that, there's at least some level, because I'm the pastor, there's at least some level of authority that is carried with them to go and do this. Where do I get my authority? I get my authority from the anointing and from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? So, as His disciples, that's you. You walk out of this place under the authority and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And so to make a disciple means to instruct new believers in how to follow Jesus. How do I follow Jesus? Where in making a disciple, it is not only to just follow Jesus, but to submit. This is where we get in trouble. Nobody wants to hear what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. To submit to Jesus' lordship. We don't mind Him being our Savior, but when it comes to Him being our Lord, why? Because when He becomes your Lord, that gives Him the right and the authority, Daryl, to tell you what to do. And as His servant, you should do what He tells you to do. Church doesn't really want to hear that. Because we like just having some level of fire insurance. I've named the name of Jesus, I've confessed, and I've received Him as my Lord and Savior, but that's about as far as I'm taking this whole thing. No, that's not what happens when He becomes your Lord, when you begin to submit to His Lordship, when you begin to take up His mission of compassionate service. Baptizing, being baptized is important because through that process, it unites the believer with the Lord Jesus Christ and His or her death to sin and resurrection of newness of life. That's what that tank over there is for. Well, I've already been baptized, Pastor. So have I. About three times, maybe four. I don't remember exactly. Why? Because I think I needed it. It's important because it unites us as believers with Jesus Christ and with His death and burial and resurrection and our newness of life. Baptism symbolizes. It's an outward form of an inward change, and it symbolizes our submission to Christ. It's talking about a willingness to live God's way. How many of you think sometimes living for God is uncomfortable? It can be uncomfortable. I speaking from experience, I can say that the things that I used to do before I came to know Jesus as my Lord, the things that I had fun, I really liked doing it. I've given my life to the Lord, and I've went back and I've tried to do those very same things, and it just ain't fun anymore. It's just not fun. I can't enjoy it. Why is that? Because now the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you and I. He lives in us, and He's not going to allow us to have fun and to get enjoyment out of living a life of sin. Or dabbling with things that we know are outside of the context of His Word. And it calls us to be submitted to Him. We have to live the way God wants us to live. And we have to identify with God as His covenant people. Listen, the people during Noah's day, we were talking about this the other day, but it had never even rained before, man. And Noah's out here in the middle of the desert building a boat. A big one. And then the thunder started clapping and the lightning started flashing and the rain started falling and the door started to close. And now how many of you know the world's standing outside doing this? How many of you know the door did not reopen? It's symbolic of what's going to happen when the Lord returns for the church. If we aren't on board with what He wants to do, when He wants us to do it, He's not going to reopen the door to let you on. His name is above every name. He deserves our worship and our obedience. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name." His name is above every name. And it is at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, let me just put this out there for you right now. Today is the day that you want to fulfill that. Today. In this present life, that's the day that you want to name the name of Jesus, that you want to bow your knee Because everybody, the worst sinner, the very worst guy that you can think of in your mind right now. Hitler. It don't matter who. I heard that. It doesn't matter who that person is. When they stand before the Lord, they are going to bow their knee and they are going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It ain't going to do them any good because it's going to be too late. But every tongue will confess who Jesus Christ is. Every knee will bow. See, the exaltation of our Lord began with His resurrection. And when men buried the body of Jesus, that was in fact the last thing any human hands did to Him. That was the last impact that human hands had on our Lord. From that point on, it was God the Father who worked. And men had done their worst to the Savior, but God exalted Him and honored Him. Men gave Him names of ridicule and slander, but God the Father gave Him a glorious name. And just as in His humiliation, He was given the name Jesus, so in His exaltation, He was given the name of Lord. I don't want you to miss this morning the point of this message. And it is, in fact, to see the power in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Peter says to this man. Now this guy, he's been like this from his mother's womb. He can't work, he can't walk, he can't do anything. So people bring him and put him down on the ground at the gate called Beautiful that leads into the temple. And he sits there all day long and begs for money. Been doing it his whole life. He can't go in. He can't do anything on his own. And then he runs across these two guys. Now, you've got to understand who these two guys are. Because these two guys could be from Myrtle Creek. Log truck driver, timber faller, mill worker. I mean, just common, ordinary guy. These guys were fishermen. They were rough guys. They weren't polished. They weren't schooled. They weren't educated. They'd had an encounter, however, with a man named Jesus. And when you have an encounter with a man named Jesus, I got news for you, folks. You ain't never going to be the same again. Ever. People that have known me from before know that something has happened in my life. And it's true. Peter says to this guy, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." See, Peter demanded the man's attention, and the beggar gave it to him. He was obviously expecting something of a gift, but what was offered wasn't money, but it was far more valuable than money. Peter commands this guy, this beggar, to get up and walk. You know what's really cool about this? He didn't think about it. He didn't think about his limitation. He didn't think about, for the last 40 years I've been sitting here, I got calluses on the back of my lap from sitting here in the dirt begging for money. He simply was obedient to what Peter said. Get up and walk. And Peter didn't leave him on his own. He reached out his hand and he brought him forth. Notice that the command wasn't by Peter's authority, but rather in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He was calling on the power and the authority, not in himself, not in his buddy, not in the temple, not in anywhere, but in the name of Jesus Christ in heaven. The apostles were doing this healing through the power of the Holy Spirit, which was given to them by Christ, and it was not their own power. But you go back to Acts chapter 1 and read verse 8 again, and it shows that the word is true. They said, you will be endued with power. And they were endued with power. It wasn't power to do these things on their own. It was power, I think, and wisdom to call on the name of the Lord, and power would flow through them. I wired a bunch of stuff in my house recently and run all kinds of wires. Big wires, little wires, great big wires. None of those wires did a thing until they were connected to the source. You can do anything. You can lick them. I don't suggest it, but it'd be my luck. Somebody, just to be a clown, would plug that thing in and I'd get lit up, which happened very frequently, actually, because I don't like electricity. But nothing's going to happen. No light bulbs are going to come on. The TV's not going to work. The air conditioner's not going to work until those wires are connected to the source of power. We can pray, we can lay hands on people, we can do anything we want, but until we are connected to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, until He lives in us, we are not, I mean, the lights ain't going to come on. If that makes any sense. The lights are just not going to come on. Jesus, church, He is alive, and His presence and His power are still active upon this earth. The apostles did this healing through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know who this is for this morning, but I'm telling you that this is the most important thing that God wants you and I to know. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. The Bible says very clearly that He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And He's at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on your behalf and mine. His Son is alive. He's not dead. He's alive and He's exalted. He's at the right hand of the Father. His presence and His power are still active on this earth and will continue to be active in the lives of His true followers until He returns. How? By the Holy Spirit. How many of you realize there's three dispensations? The dispensation of the Father is the Old Testament period. The dispensation of the Son is the 33 and a half years that Jesus lived on the earth here. We are now living in the dispensation of grace, dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Although you can see the three in action throughout, the focus of the Old Testament was on the Father. The focus of the 33 and a half years of the dispensation of the Son was because the focus was on the Son. We are now in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the focus is on the Holy Spirit. He's the Paraclete. How many of you know that? He's the Comforter. He's the Counselor. He's the one that imbues us with power. He's the one who lives inside of us and says, you know what, you don't want to do that. He's the one that says when you're driving down the road, pull over. You don't know why, you just are obedient. And so you pull over and your life is spared because of it. He's the one that says, hey, go talk to that guy. And you're like, I don't want to go talk to that guy. He said, go talk to that guy anyway. I'll give you the words to say. You're obedient, you go and do that. Somebody's life gets changed and transformed. My wife fought in Utah. She fought and fought and fought and fought all night long in a church service, in an evening service, because the Lord was telling her to go and talk to this guy. She'd never seen this guy. He'd never been in our church before. But He was saying, go talk to him. Go talk. And she's like, I ain't going. I don't want to do that. Finally, she gave in and she went and talked to this guy. Found out this guy was a truck driver and he had wrecked his truck and he had just got out of the hospital. And he'd lost his job, he'd lost his family, he'd lost everything. And he come to that church that night, and he said, God, if you don't do something in my life, if somebody doesn't say something to me, if somebody doesn't come and talk to me, if something of your spirit doesn't rise up and do something in my life, I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to take my life tonight, I'm going to commit suicide. And at the end of that service, my wife mustered up all the faith she could find and went and spoke to this guy. We led that guy to the Lord. He surrendered to me the instrument that he was going to use to end his life that night. I didn't say it was going to be easy. It stretches us beyond what we're comfortable with. You've heard me say it 100 times. When I was in school, I would take a flunking grade rather than get in front of the class and say anything. Flunk me, I don't care, I ain't going up there. And here I am, in front of the class. Literally giving book reports. Every week. 3 times a week, 4 times a week, I'm in front of the class. You want to talk about getting stretched out of your comfort zone? I have to study. I don't want to study. Lord, can't you just open it up and just drop it in there and we're good? No. You study. Earn it. Earn it. That's something that's foreign to our culture today. Earn it. We want it given. I don't want to have to do anything for it. I just want you to give it to me. He said, earn it. I don't know where I was going with all of that. It was free. Sometimes when God calls us to act, it makes us uncomfortable. But He is still present. His power is still active. And He will continue to be active in the lives of true followers until He returns. Look at this verse in Acts chapter 3, verse 16. And His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong. We're still talking about this lame guy. Talking about why it happened. Because it was through the name of the Lord has made this man strong. Whom you see and know. Listen, when he walked into the temple, they don't think for a moment that they didn't know who that dude was. They had walked by him day after day, year after year. These guys had walked by and seen this guy begging for money. Now, who was in church that day? Who was in this temple? Come on, man. How about the Sadducees and the Pharisees? Were they there? They were all there. How about all those people that were the ones that had denied Jesus, that said, listen, we're going to let Barabbas go. Give us a murderer. Take this innocent guy and crucify him. Those are the guys that were in church that day. And when this lame guy walked into church he didn't walk. Okay, he didn't walk. The Bible says that he leaped up and was running and he was making a commotion in church. That's what he was doing. Listen, when God touches your life, there's going to be a commotion. When you get connected to the power, Tim, you and I have some experience with electric fences. Amen. Glory. Maybe I've shared this story with you before, but when I was just a little kid, my mom, I was always into stuff, and my mother decided that I needed to have something to do, so she gave me an old wooden handled paring knife. little one. A knife. This is my mother, all right? You wonder why I'm like I am? Let me tell the story, all right? It'll clear it up for you. She gives me a paring knife and puts me down behind the old wood cook stove we had in the house and said, "Here, son, cut these boxes up." So I start cutting the boxes up. How many of you know it doesn't take a 3-year-old very long to get bored cutting up cardboard? But this wasn't your normal, ordinary, everyday wood cook stove. It was half wood and half electric. And the electric part was 220. How many of you know that pigtail was looking pretty enticing? Let me just have a go at that. And so I grabbed it and I started cutting on it. And nobody had to wonder when I made contact. Because it blew me clear across the room, set the house on fire, and put two great big scallops like that in the blade of that knife. It would have killed me, the doctor said, if I would have been touching the two little brass rivets that went through the handle. But by the grace of God, I was just holding on to the wood part. And I've been bald ever since. Listen. When the power hits you, you move. You are energized. You know that something's happened. And when the power of the Holy Spirit begins to hit us, it's because something's happened and the power hit this guy and he was no longer lame. And it was Jesus, not the apostles, that received the glory for the healing of this lame man. And in those days, a man's name represents his character and it stood for his authority and his power. And by using the name of Jesus, Peter was showing everybody who gave him the authority and the power to heal. And when that dude walked into the church that morning, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who put Jesus on the cross, had to come to grips with the fact that this guy was lame and in the name of Jesus he's walking this morning. Jesus' apostles did not emphasize what they could do, but what God could do through them. Without Him, I'm nothing. Jesus' name, church, is not to be used as some cantation or some element of magic. It has to be used in faith. Faith in your life can never be activated unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we pray in His name, we have to remember that it is Christ Himself, not merely the sound of His name, who gives our power or our prayers power. Let me say this. If you had turned to, you don't have to, but if you were to turn to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find there that the story of the seven sons of Sceva. Some of you might be familiar with this story, some of you maybe not, but the seven sons of Sceva was a Jewish chief priest who taught that they could invoke, or who thought that they could invoke the name of Jesus without having a personal relationship, and because of it, they paid a heavy price. In fact, in chapter 19, verse 11 through 16, I just want to read it. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. And then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches." That's interesting. Also, there were these seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, chief priest, who did so. This is an interesting verse. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Who are you? I mean, he's saying, who are you and by what authority do you speak anything over me? And this man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them. There's seven of them. One guy overpowered him. Why? Because he was demonically empowered. Overpowered them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Just because you see somebody doing something in the name of the Lord doesn't necessarily, in fact, doesn't at all mean you have the power and the authority to do those things unless you are a child of God and you know who it is you've seen, who you belong to. The sons of Sceva were simply impressed by Paul and by the power to drive out demons that came from God's Holy Spirit. They were doing it to make money. What Paul was doing was from the Holy Spirit. It wasn't through any kinds of witchcraft and was way more powerful, obviously, than what they had. And they discovered, however, that no one can duplicate the power of God. You cannot duplicate God's power. These men were calling on the name of Jesus without a knowledge of Him and knowing Him personally. The power to change people comes from Christ, and it cannot be tapped into by reciting His name like some magic charm. It doesn't work that way. God works His power only through those whom He chooses. It's not that we can't do it, but you better know you're hearing from God when you do it. You better know that you have a personal relationship, that you are endued with His Holy Spirit. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that just because you know the name of Jesus is no sign that you have been given the authority to use His name. Let me try and wrap this up. Chapter 3, verses 11 through 16. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Him has given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Isn't that amazing? I mean, Peter, you gotta love that guy. He just calls them out. You guys, you're the ones that sent him to the cross. You're the ones that delivered him up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. It was you guys. Pilate was determined to let him go, but no, you denied the Holy One. And now, here this guy is, healed by the power of the very one that you crucified. See, the healing of this lame beggar drew quite a crowd around the three men. And in his sermon at Pentecost, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, Peter had to refute the accusations that they were all drunk. Remember that what they said? Peter said, "We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost." And now here he is again, in this sermon, refuting the notion that it was him and John that healed the man by their own power. He immediately identifies the source of the miracle. Too often, I think, in our churches, and frankly, as sad as it is, especially in the television, televangelism, things on TV, it's the man. You know, if I could just get if I could just get this man or that man or go to that place or this place. It hadn't got anything to do with them other than the fact that they're a tool being used by God. If it is anything other than that, I promise you one thing. God will reveal and remove His power from that source. He just will. He's not going to share His glory with anybody. Peter identified the source of the miracle, that it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Peter said that it was, that this was the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, listen, Calvary might have been man's last word, but the empty tomb was God's last word. I don't care what the doctors have said. I know what God's Word says. I don't know why God doesn't heal some and He heals others. I don't know. I don't have that answer. But I know He's still on the throne. He glorified His Son by raising Him from the dead and by taking Him back to heaven. Aren't you glad this morning that you've got an advocate? Aren't you glad this morning that when the enemy goes into the throne room of God and says, hey, well, what about Dennis? What, you know, I know what Dennis did. You know what Dennis did? And Jesus looks at his little roster and says, I just see the blood. That's all I see here. Listen. John, where you at? God glorified His Son by raising Him and taking Him back to heaven. The enthroned Christ has sent His Holy Spirit. Remember before Jesus ascended, He said, listen, I'm not going to leave you alone. How many of you know that? I'm not going to leave you alone. He said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the paraclete, the counselor, the comforter. He sent His Holy Spirit. And church, He is working through the Holy Spirit today. He's working through the Holy Spirit. Here's the catch. Here's the catch. There must be conviction before a sinner can experience conversion. There must be conviction before a sinner can experience conversion. Listen, unless a patient is convinced that he is sick, he'll never accept the diagnosis nor take the treatment. Peter turned the temple that day into a courtroom, and he laid out all the evidence for everybody to see. How in the world could two ordinary fishermen perform such a great miracle unless God was with them? Let me bring it closer to home this morning. How can God take a guy like myself that some of you have known for a very, very long time, transform my life and put me in a pulpit and be a leader of a church? I don't have a college education, although I took some college courses. I don't consider myself to have a college education. I don't even have a high school education. I dropped out. I just attribute it to the fact that God uses the things, foolish things, to confound the wise. He's not looking for people that are perfect. He's looking for people that He can use. Nobody would dare deny the miracle of the transformation in this beggar's life. They couldn't deny it because He was standing right before them. You can't deny that. To accept the miracle would have been to admit that Jesus Christ was indeed the living Son of God that has power in His name. The same God, the same power, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that day is here today. He's wherever you're watching this morning by way of the internet, all around the world, wherever you're at. Doesn't matter. He's omnipresent. It means He can be anywhere, everywhere, all at the same time. This morning I know that He's in this place. This morning I know that you're not here by accident. This morning I know that there is a God in heaven that is calling us and challenging us to not just have a form of godliness, but to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. To receive the forgiveness of a God that created you. Gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Listen, you can't be good enough. You can't work hard enough. You can't give enough money to make heaven your home. You're only going to get there through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, period. That's it. The Bible says this, with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. That's it. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. The Bible says that when we are saved, when we do those things, it's more than just lip service. It's surrendering and submitting our life to Jesus and giving Him lordship and rule over our life. Won't always be comfortable. Won't always be easy, but it will always be worth it. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying. There's no point in sharing a message like this if we don't give an opportunity for somebody to give their life to Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And when you call on the name of Jesus, when you ask God to come by His Holy Spirit into your heart, into your life, and change you and transform you, He'll do it. It's why Jesus went to the cross, for such a time as this. If you're in this place this morning, you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today something has happened in the preaching of the Word. And I feel in my spirit, I feel something going on inside of me. I can tell you that that's the Holy Spirit. Joshua in chapter 24 said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I can't choose for you or I would. In fact, the Bible goes so far as to say that God's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But God won't force Himself on you either. You have to make the choice. You have to choose it. You have to say, God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, you haven't been too bad. You haven't waited too long. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you say, Preacher, I've never accepted Jesus, but I want to receive Him this morning as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Just slip it up. I want to pray with you today. Anybody at all? I see your hand. You can put it down. I see your hand. I see your hand in the back. You can put them down. Somebody else say, "Preacher, this morning I at one point I walked with the Lord. I had a relationship with Him, but man, life happened. Stuff happened. And I quit allowing Him to be the Lord of my life. And through that entire process, I found myself again adrift at sea, away from the safe harbor of Jesus. But today I've heard the call from the lighthouse. I've seen the beacon of light through the fog shining from the old lighthouse. And I'm asking you today, would you forgive me again? Would you receive me again?" If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, because I tell you for sure He will. He for sure will do that. If that's you, raise your hand. I see it. You can put it down. Somebody else. Preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Listen, if you raised your hand from the front to the back, from side to side, I'm going to ask you to come meet me right here in the front. Come right here and meet me right here. Get right up out of your chair.